Thank you, mahalo, for inviting me and allowing me to participate in this today's forum. You know, for the past 3 years, I've had the privilege of serving the people of Hawaii as governor. And for three decades before that, I had the privilege of serving the people of my community as a state senator and a state representative. You know, I'm a proud graduate of Pearl City High School Public Schools. I'm an engineer by profession. I'm also attended the University of Hawaii and have my electrical engineering degree and an MBA. Most important to me, I'm a husband and a proud father of three children. I'm proud of what they have been able to accomplish. It really is important to me, and when I focus on the work that I've done, it really is for that next generation. My three children work on the mainland today. I am definitely focused on creating the fundamental economy and the opportunities so that they have the opportunity to come back to Hawaii, have thriving careers, be able to afford a home, be able to return to be part of this community. I truly have served in doing the right thing in the right way for the right reason. That has been my prime motivation. It really has been the focus on public service. It's what has driven me in all of the 30 years plus, 33 years now, if you include the 3 years as governor, that has driven me in how I make decisions and how we govern. You know, there's a lot of people who can talk about what they promise or what they'd like to do if given the opportunity. I would like to talk with you about what I have done. I have been privileged to serve in the legislature. I was vice chair of the Hawaiian Affairs Committee when we wrote the water code that really allows and ensures that we have access for homesteading purposes. I was a proud supporter of the Hawaiian Language Immersion Program. The very first public Hawaiian Language Immersion School was in Waiau, in my district. Proudly welcomed them, supported them, worked with the families to ensure, because when I met Larry Kimura, he made it clear that the perpetuation and the preservation of the culture was tied to language. I've also had the privilege of committing to the Hawaiian Homelands Program. We've made tremendous progress, able to appropriate the most operating funds in the history of the Hawaiian Homelands Program.
Question two. If reelected, will you, along with your cabinet members, accept an invitation to attend and participate in a policy summit in February 2019 to introduce your cabinet and discuss your priorities?
Certainly, you know, as once we convene as a cabinet, we do many things in able to connect with various groups all across the state. We certainly would be looking to have that opportunity for the cabinet to meet with the Native Hawaiian community. I would like you to know that I'm the first governor who actually required training on for the entire cabinet on the law and the Constitution about what the obligation in managing the trust on behalf of all of you, so that they were certain about what the constitutional obligations of each and every director would be as they choose to serve the public.
This is question three. Native Hawaiian art helps others visualize a unique Hawaii identity, whether visitor or kama'aina. Yet Native artists are underrepresented in the state's collection. Barely 4% of more than 6,000 pieces are made by Hawaiians. What can you do as governor to ensure that public art by Native Hawaiians is sourced at a high percentage in public spaces and in the visitor industry?
Certainly, I do think that there are a couple of things that we could do. I know that we have made at the Hawaii Tourism Authority incorporation of Native Hawaiian cultures and traditions a much, much bigger part of our marketing of Hawaii, and that would include use of Native Hawaiian artists in the resorts and other facilities that become so important. On the state foundation side, you know, I am proud of the fact that the state of Hawaii was the first state in the country to establish a foundation like the State Foundation of Culture and the Arts to promote art in public places. And with the statistics you cited, I would be embarrassed that we haven't had more Native art displayed. So certainly would be looking to work with the commission to identify changes that we could make in the process of commissioning works of art to ensure that we can get more art from Native Hawaiian artists.
Governor, since the publication of the 2010 study on the disparate treatment of Native Hawaiians in our criminal justice system, audience, this is question 15, and the issuance of recommendations by Native Hawaiian Justice Task Force to address it, little has been done to improve this treatment of Native Hawaiians. As governor, what criminal justice reform strategies will you prioritize to address this issue and to reduce the record high Hawaii citizen inmate populations in jails and prisons, including keeping them closer to their homes and families, which is so essential to the successful rehabilitation?
You know, certainly we have been looking at broader use of diversion programs. You know, we have been working with the judiciary to establish, for example, homeless diversion programs so that we can go to the source and be able to take in, do an assessment, and provide services rather than having them have to go to court and be penalized through that process. So clearly, I fully support diversion programs. We have veterans diversion programs, homeless diversion programs. I think all of these are very, very important. We want to be able to do the assessment, provide services before they get into the prison system so that we can take action and have a better success in rehabilitation. You know, I have also been working with a group of advocates, Demon, I know he's here, looking at the whole concept of pu'u honua and looking at how we can develop rehabilitation programs that are more consistent with traditional and cultural practices so that we can find a way to relate to those incarcerated and have a better opportunity for rehabilitation.
Question 9. Hawaii's history, especially from a Native perspective, is largely ignored in the Hawaii public schools, and if taught, can be an incredible bridge to understanding, healing, and pride. As governor, will you lead the conversation to achieve the production and publication of a middle school-aged appropriate textbook that accurately tells the story of Hawaii's Native people?
I have to be honest, I haven't seen a seventh grade textbook. I do know that it is a priority, and the Department of Education focuses on the history of Hawaii in the seventh grade. Clearly, if the textbooks that are used in our classrooms today do not tell an accurate picture or provide an accurate look at the history of Hawaii, that needs to be corrected. And I would be glad to convene a task force, work with the University of Hawaii and other advocates to try and put a group together to assess the textbooks that are currently used. And I think more importantly, to drive to have a better source documentation that would accurately allow our students to learn the history of Hawaii.
Thank you, Governor. This is question 13. We mahalo Senator Inouye and Senator Kaka for establishing federal funding and programming for Papa'ola Lokahi, the five Native Hawaiian healthcare systems, and the Native Hawaiian Health Scholarship Program, which addresses the well-documented disproportionate health conditions of Native Hawaiians, whether obesity, chronic disease, behavioral health, or workforce development. This source of funding has never been leveraged at the state level. Why do you think that is? And as governor, how would you direct your Department of Health to support Papa'ololokahi to address the health crisis in our native population?
You know, I would like to say that we do quite a lot in promoting public health. You know, we are focused on the social determinants of public health, and we are changing and realigning all of the programs in the Department of Health to really look at the causes of the bad outcomes. And clearly, when we focus, for example, on homelessness, as you had mentioned, there are many who are homeless who are Hawaiian or Native Hawaiian. And so we are looking at all of those programs and ensuring that we can provide better services to that community. You know, as you may know, our school of our medical school, the John A. Byrne School of Medicine, has a department that is dedicated to Native and alternative medicine, so that we can incorporate and bridge between the Native traditional practices and today's modern medicine education as a way to ensure that we get better integration of the full range of medical services on behalf of the people. So certainly would look forward to working more with Papa'ololokahi so that we can ensure that there is a stronger alignment of state support for their work.
Good. Question number 35. Governor, some may not understand the unique status Native Hawaiians have to state and federal governments. At times, the interests of the government are not in the best interest of Native Hawaiians. As governor, will you direct your attorney general to provide separate legal counsel within the attorney general's office, like the U.S. Department of Justice does for Native peoples, to advise and defend the rights of Native Hawaiians as they are expressed in the state and the U.S. constitutions?
Certainly, I'm not exactly aware of how they do it in the U.S. Attorney's Office, but I would be glad to look at any and all opportunities to provide better representation for Native Hawaiians within a state government. As you know, even within the Attorney General's office, if we need a specific expertise in any area, we do seek external consultants to ensure that our agencies can get the representation that best allows them to be successful. And I definitely would be willing to look at and learn from any other opportunity. If they do a better job at the U.S. Attorney's Office, I would look forward to learning how they do it and seeing how we can incorporate that and apply that in the Attorney General's office.
Thank you. Question 19. More than 22,000 Native Hawaiians are spending their lives on the wait list to receive a land award under the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act of 1921. Too many simply die on the list, never receiving an award. These homestead land awards can be made for residential, farming, or ranching lot with or without infrastructure. As governor, what is your plan to eliminate barriers within state government at DHHL to issue not hundreds but thousands of lease awards during the next four-year term?
You know, certainly we are looking at how we can accelerate lease awards across the full spectrum. You know, I've challenged all of my departments beyond just the Department of Hawaiian Homelands to look at programs that they have that might facilitate and be made available to homesteaders that could allow us to accelerate awarding of leases. You know, we do know that that leases are offered but not accepted by many, and we need to continue to look at all of the reasons that beneficiaries, when offered a lease, are unable to accept. The three most often cited reasons for not accepting a lease is, one, they don't like the location. You know, and we do have high demand on Oahu with very little land here, and so that continues to be a challenge. The second reason is that they don't have a down payment, unable to afford the mortgage. And then the third one is that they can't qualify for the financing. So we have been looking at responding to these reasons for not. We've ramped up our efforts to create credit and counseling and assistance programs to allow them to be able to finance their homes. You know, we authorize subsistence ag homesteading for the first time. We're in the process of issuing rules because we want to be able to award ag awards. We've been looking at Kuleana lot awards and making sure that you know, we don't have infrastructure in these sites, but we have lands. And if beneficiaries are willing to acknowledge that we might not be able to put in, or we will not be able to put in infrastructure, and they want to take that lease, we're going to make that available. And then finally, we are looking at condominiums and seeing if we can create condominiums that would allow us to reduce the cost and allow us to award those residential lots.
This is question 28 in regards to Hawaii tourism. The visitor demographic is changing globally, wherein tourists are looking for more authentic experiences. The Hawaii Tourism Authority is funded at upwards of $80 million annually, yet a tiny percentage is dedicated to investing in Native Hawaiian culture. As governor, how would you continue to ensure that HTA moves away from the plastic marketing of Hawaii and invest more in culturally authentic experiences, including greater investments from HTA into local watersheds, environments, county parks, cultural practices, and the like?
Certainly, and I do agree, and I think that even HTA recognizes that what the visitor coming to Hawaii today is they want an authentic experience. And so it's in HTA's best interest to support investments in more Native Hawaiian organizations and Native Hawaiian cultural experiences. So, you know, we continue to work with the HTA board. They are looking at what it is that the visitor wants. You know, I was one of the first legislators that committed $3 million from HTA to support beach replenishment and support of our public parks. I look forward to the opportunity to direct more. I do believe that we need to make a bigger investment in infrastructure supported by TAT dollars because it benefits our community as well as the visitor experience. And we do see more and more of the visitor industry recognizing and engaging and wanting to engage to create more authentic experiences, because that's what the visitor wants.
Question number 27. Governor, would you pursue an aggressive capital improvement plan to upgrade Hawaii's infrastructure through general obligation bonds for roads, neighbor island sewage treatment plants, rural schools and clinics, and renewable energy infrastructure that includes such improvements on Hawaiian homes land located in every county?
Certainly. I have been working with the mayors and the councils all across the state to improve and provide housing for our community. Since becoming governor, I do know that that is a constant priority all across the state. We don't have enough housing for our peoples. So we have focused on partnerships. I have actually changed the law, championed a change in the law that allowed us to take the dwelling unit revolving fund and make it available to support infrastructure projects that support the homesteads, as well as the development of housing in the various communities. In fact, we do have an example of something that I've done already at Kamakana Villages on Hawaii Island, where the state is spending general obligation bonds because they needed a connector roadway that would enable the Hawaiian Homelands Project to go ahead, but also would allow the county to proceed with their development of housing on the west side of Hawaii Island. And clearly, that's something that I believe in, and I've actually been working on and been able to complete on behalf of getting better infrastructure to support Hawaiian homelands as well as housing development.
Mahalo, Governor. This will be your final question, and after your answer to this, you can proceed into your three-minute closing statement.
Sure.
This is question 33 for the audience. The Office of Hawaiian Affairs is a state agency vehicle created by the people of Hawaii in 1978 to fulfill the state's obligation under the 1959 Hawaii Admissions Act to direct one-fifth of the ceded land revenue to benefit Native Hawaiians and Hawaiians. As governor, what role can you play to protect the interests of Native Hawaiian beneficiaries to ensure that the ceded land trusts administered by OHA serves the Native Hawaiian people as the Statehood Act intended?
You know, certainly I think that this is one of those questions that end up being a balancing act of state intrusion into Native Hawaiian issues and responsibilities. But I do believe, and I have been an advocate for transparency, and what I will advocate for is more transparency at the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. I do believe that that would allow all of Hawaiians to be able to know and understand what the trustees are deciding in terms of what they spend the trust funds on. I do know, and I've been in the legislature long enough, before we used to go through all of the expenditures of OHA on the trust fund side, and we were directed that that's a responsibility of the trustees, and we had to stop doing that. And because of that, I do believe that if we could provide greater transparency so that the public could hold the trustees accountable for how the funds are expended, how they are making decisions about prioritizing requests from the community, and how the trustees can be held accountable for how they decide to spend trust funds, then you as voters and beneficiaries would be able to hold them accountable and vote for someone else if they are not doing what is in the best interest of all of the Hawaiian people.
Governor, you have 3 minutes to give your final closing statement. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I really appreciate this opportunity to talk with every one of you. As I said, I do believe that I am a different candidate. I'm not the typical politician. I don't make decisions based on special interests or secret deals. I have been and always will act in the best interests of the community. You know, I am the only candidate can actually tell you about how I've advanced Hawaiian issues by action and accomplishments explicitly. And I'd just like to close on a couple of things that I have personally been able to complete in my career as a public servant. I did talk about the fact that as vice chair, we were able, after many, many years of passing a water code, that as the Constitution requires, protects the rights of access to water and appurtenant rights of in our community all across the state of Hawaii. I, as chairman of Economic Development and Hawaiian Affairs, negotiated the first ceded land settlement to resolve the claims. And I still believe that that was the fairest settlement, where we actually tried to identify which lands, which revenues would be subject to the 20%. And Governor Waihei was governor. Auntie Frenchie DeSoto was chairman of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. We went back and forth about what would be appropriate, but we came to settlement on what ceded land revenue should be supporting OHA. I was chair of Ways and Means when we had ceded land settlement number two, and we authorized another $200 million to settle that ceded land settlement. I was vice chair of Hawaiian Affairs when we granted beneficiaries the right to sue both OHA and Hawaiian homelands on behalf of breaches of trust. And finally, I've been a proud supporter of the Hawaiian Language Immersion Program, really finding ways to perpetuate the language and culture of Native Hawaiians. I am the only candidate that can talk to you about what they have done to advance the Hawaiians and Native Hawaiian community, culture, and traditions here in Hawaii, and I humbly ask for your vote in the August election. Mahalo and aloha.